You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall here with you this week to look at the Trophy Hassan II and the Wells Fargo Championship on the PGA Tour. Good to have you with us. First of all, welcome along to the man sitting next to me here in the studio, Dave Tindall. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Looking forward to another week trying to get the winner. You were so close, weren't you?
It was one of those. It was one of those frustrating weeks. But Benny Ahn played fantastically well in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, which was a stop-start event. I think it was frustrating for everyone involved. And now these PGA Tour players are Snapchatting everything they do. Dave, you get to see the weather almost firsthand now. Yeah. And I think it was frustrating not only for the players but tournament organisers, the sponsors. When you get a stop-start event like that, everyone involved, they just have to suck it up. And the tournament being reduced to 54 holes is always a little bit dissatisfying, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially if you... Well, it depends. If you're on Brian Stewart, you're probably delighted, aren't you? Because he might have got more jittery had it gone all four. But I had a player. I had Daniel Berger, who was fourth at halfway. And then it kind of just got all messy. And I felt he maybe was one of the victims of it. Sometimes it works in your favour, but other times it doesn't.
I think because Ben Ahn was ranked number one in strokes gained tee to green and he'd played so incredibly well, particularly off the tee, I thought that having 72 holes would have been beneficial to him because of his ball striking.
Yeah, he would have sort of, he would have carried on like that maybe.
Yeah, that was my thinking anyway, but no sour grapes here. He played fantastically well all week.
Yeah, and it was a great shout. Yeah,
got done in the playoff by Brian Stewart and Jamie Lovemark, who played good golf throughout the week as well and had an opportunity to win the championship in regulation, given that he had it on the green in two on the par five and three putted, was 90 feet or so away.
Yeah, I think he was quite well backed, wasn't he, last week? He was a short price, but he's a guy who's looked as though he would have a promising career, then he's dipped and kind of gone nowhere. But this year he's really come back, hasn't he? So he's one to look out for, I think, over the next, the rest of the season, I think.
Seems like an age ago as well that the Volvo China Open was on. Yes. Hao Tong Li, it seems like a different decade, never mind week. Hao Tong Li winning that event, final round of 8 under par, catapulted him to the lead. And
do you remember when I put him up somewhere and you laughed and saying he's not going to win? That was him, wasn't it?
I vaguely remember that. Most weeks I laugh at your selections, Dave, so I'm not sure it was that one in particular.
A bit harsh.
was it that one?
Yeah, I'm sure it was in a event in China. Maybe the BMW. No, would he have got into that? I can't. And maybe it was 100s and you just said, well, he's not good enough. You're quite adamant.
Listen, I can't remember what I did last week. So you've got obviously a finer memory of me. If you can dig that out from a podcast, I'm willing to clip that up and put it on another podcast, because he's beginning to look like a real player and a potential superstar.
Yeah, he was 20 years old and obviously he's played well in the event. Would he lose a player from the event the year before? Was it the Shenzhen?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was an either or and you've just said yes.
Was Shenzhen? I don't think it was a Volvo China Open.
Yeah, I think he lost a player from the Shenzhen and that to Afi Barnrat, I think, and then he went to the China Open and was top six there as well. So his form in China was very exposed, wasn't it? And obviously he's a Chinese player.
Why didn't you mention him last week?
I don't know. I've forgotten about him. Maybe his odds weren't that good. But that's back-to-back Chinese winners, isn't it, of the Volvo China Open?
It is.
We're still kind of thinking, oh, they're still sort of not ready to win, but they are, aren't they? Especially in that event.
Yeah, and I think Hao Tong Li is going to... Do you think he's going to break through onto the world stage?
I don't know. We'll have to see how he goes in America or something. Obviously, it's very good, but all his results seem to have come in China, don't they? So we'll have to see how he goes, but it's certainly a very bright start. And the way he won that tournament, some bigger and... You know, better names around him, and he was the one who came out and shot that brilliant final round. So, yeah, credit to him.
I've got to spend the next week just listening back to old podcasts when we've previewed Chinese events now.
Well, I might have done it off air. It might have been an aggressive conversation off air somewhere.
They take place every single week, by the way, listeners.
Yeah, we're all friendly.
We are all friendly on here on the podcast. And then once we get outside in that corridor, that's it, isn't it? How can you say that about my selection?
You idiot.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Tindall. We've got two events, and we'll start with the Trophy Hassan II. I'm not sure whether the Trophy Hassan I was any good, but this sequel has not attracted a particularly strong field here.
No, I was gutted because this was the one where the king used to open the door to his palace grounds with a big key.
Yep.
And they've moved it. They've moved it to a different course.
They've gone
back to the one. You got it written down before I try and say it.
I have. They've gone back to the Royal Golf Dar es Salaam, which was the venue in 2010.
Yeah, used in 2010. It's also been used for a couple of kind of Moroccan events back in 2003 and 2001, I think. So a few of the older guys have played it a few times. But 2010 is the realistic kind of nearest form guide we got when it was won with, minus 25, I think.
That was it, Rhys Davis.
So you presume it's a bit of a birdie fest. I did note that Louis Oosthuizen was second that year. And there was Thomas Aiken third, and the grass is Kikuyu grass, which is what the South Africans are used to.
Yep.
So I thought that might be a little lining.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I'll just spin you through the prices first of all. We'll talk more about the golf course in a second. Alexander Levy is the 12-1 favourite here with William Hill. Alejandro Canizares 14-1. Gregory Bordy is 16s. Andrew Johnston 20-1. Julian Cain is 20-1. Romain Vettel is 20-1. Benjamin Hébert is 25s. Dean Burmester 25-1. Paul Dunn is 25-1. And it's 33s and bigger the remainder. The other thing to note from that 2010 renewal, you mentioned Thomas Aiken, Louis Oosthuizen, Mikko Ilinen was up there as well, and Thomas LeVay, some links specialists, some guys with decent open form in contention that year. And Danny Willett, the Masters champion, was tied seventh as well back in 2010. As you mentioned, it was used for a couple of minor events when the Moroccan Open was on the European tour. You've got to go back a long way. And the problem with the 2010 renewal is that there were no stats recorded either.
I
so
know,
it's so happened. Difficult yeah. to get involved, isn't it?
Yeah. If I was to have a bet this week, I know you said you've got a selection, which
yes.
I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to hear. I haven't got any. But if we had a market, a French
that
winner...
That sounded passive-aggressive there.
It was. Probably just aggressive, actually. If we could just pick a French winner.
Right, okay.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, there is.
And Bordy.
I've gone for a Frenchman, by the way.
Okay, Kahn, Vettel, Hébert, Havre, who I quite like, probably the closest I would come. If someone, even Mike Lorenzo Vera's got a few good results in recent times. If there's a price French winner, yes, I think I might just back it because I'm not quite sure which one of those. I mean, Morocco, French is also the sort of one of the two languages, isn't it, with Arabic?
Yes.
So they'll be able to speak a bit of the native tongue. I just think Levy obviously doing well last time. And as a bunch, they all seem to be in decent form, don't they?
They do. They do. I've actually gone for one that you've not mentioned there.
Oh, really?
Sebastian Gross is my selection at 40-1.
Slightly bigger than...
Yeah, slightly bigger. He's the same price as Mike Lorenzo Vera. But yeah. I noticed in your Roto World Golf preview that you publish every either Monday or Tuesday.
Monday.
Usually Monday.
Yeah.
That he wasn't in your snippets, was he, this week?
Well, I am sorry. Yeah. I got down to 20. It's normally the top 20 in the betting.
So, right, okay.
So he must have been kind of on the
maybe on the cusp.
Yeah,
yeah, possibly so. Matteo Manassero got in there, though, and he's not in the top 20, is he?
Well, I thought it was interesting because he's come back to form a little bit, hasn't he? He had a top 25 in the Shenzhen. I just wonder.
I think if Mike Grennan was on the podcast
Mike likes to sort of, track his progress after his huge slump, but there are just signs. I thought it was worth a little mention.
Yeah, he's 80-1. My selection is Sebastian Gross at 40-1. And I thought, even though it's not the biggest price in the world, you understand why he is that price because of the weakness of the field.
Yeah.
I just wanted a player that maybe has a bit of progress to come. You know, his star is definitely ascending at the moment. He won on the Alps Tour back in 2012 and 2013, moved on to the Challenge Tour and came within a whisker of grabbing his card back in 2014, didn't quite manage it, but last year on the Challenge Tour got a couple of wins, and this is a glorified Challenge Tour event in essence. And he started his life pretty well on the European Tour. Didn't play that well earlier on in the season. Did have a tie for fourth in the Alfred Dunhill Championship. But since then, he's made four straight cuts. His last four starts, all cuts. Top 20 finishes in the Hero Indian Open and the Shenzhen International. And one of the really surprising aspects of his play is how well he's driven the ball, both long and straight, Sebastian Gross. So I think he'll set up many birdie opportunities. And he closed with a 66 last week in the Volvo China Open. If he can maintain that sort of striking that he's shown the last 4 weeks, I think he could play well on this golf course. So 40-1, Sebastian Gross, taking a chance with a player that I think that there could be a little bit more to come from him.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think I was looking at players who might become a lot shorter in events like these with a couple of good performances. Eddie Pepperell might be big at 40s.
Yeah.
In theory, he's a lot better than most of these, isn't he?
Definitely.
But his form's just a little bit off.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Because I thought when he put together a string of good results in top championships, for instance, the Irish Open,
well, I mean,
I thought he was going to be a really top European tour player.
If you're mentioning links, I mean, he did really well on links courses, didn't he? So he could be one at 40s.
Paul Dunne as well, 25-1. I could see him going well. Maybe a little bit short, but based on his 13th at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, that was obviously impressive, isn't it, in that company.
Very impressive.
And 54-hole leader of the Open last year, of course.
And finished 16th at Valderrama in a better event. And I think his form's slightly hidden because he closed with that big number in the Shenzhen International, closed with a 76.
Yeah, he did well for a lot of that, didn't he? Yeah. But 25 recognises all that, doesn't it?
I think so. But it's not an event to be getting heavily involved in, is it? I don't think, without having seen the golf course in 5-6 years.
Yeah. Fair
agree
enough.
With that?
I agree, yeah.
Shall we move on?
Let's move on to the PGA Tour.
This is a good event this week. The Wells Fargo Championship, and Rory McIlroy is the 9-2 favourite. Dustin Johnson is 14-1. Adam Scott and Ricky Fowler, both 16s. Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose, both 20s. Hideki Matsuyama, JB Holmes, Patrick Reed and Phil Mickelson, all 25-1. 40-1 and bigger the rest. One quick note before we get stuck in. I saw just before we came on air to do this podcast that Dustin Johnson had withdrawn. So it's obviously not been updated in our field yet, and the rumours were unconfirmed at time of going to press, so to speak. So just do bear that in mind.
Yeah, he's a funny one. He's not played it since 2011, and his results there were fairly rubbish. Miscut, 29 miscut. And I thought he was only playing this week just because it's hosting the PGA, isn't it, next year? US PGA Championship.
Yes.
So I thought he was just maybe turning up to have a look at it.
Yeah.
Whereas deep down he thought, this isn't the course for me.
Yeah, I kind of
so I didn't like that
understand
price.
Where you're coming
that
from.
That price was all sort of current form, wasn't it? But
it was all current
I know
form
the
because it's got no course form.
Yeah, no, I know some of it's quite old and maybe he's a better player since then, but he was a good player back then, wasn't he, though, in 2011. So, yeah, that's if that's confirmed, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and he wasn't on your mind anyway.
It doesn't affect it, just whether it'll shorten some of them up. But.
Yeah, but we're recording this now, so thankfully he's still in the field list and we can grab these prices right now.
Yeah.
McIlroy is the obvious starting point here because he's had some fun at this championship over the years. It was the scene of his breakthrough win on the PGA Tour back in 2010. That year, made the cut on the number and stormed through the field on Saturday and Sunday. And last year, when he won his second Wells Fargo Championship, he carded a course record 61 on Saturday in the process. It's a golf course that has changed over the years as well. Following the 2013 edition, the bent grass greens were replaced by Bermuda, and it's not as tree-lined as it once was. They've made changes to the course dynamics with the removal of some of the trees on the property.
Yeah, and it does now look like a bomber's paradise, doesn't it, I would say.
That's the one thing that comes out of that, I think.
Which probably would suit Rory, but here's a Rory stat, which I've completely just... I've not read it anywhere, but I think I've made it up myself. Although I've not made it up, it's true. But when I've looked through his record, you know what? He's never defended a title.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yes, right.
That is correct. Which is strange, isn't it, for a man of his ability?
Yeah. The thing, like Tiger used to have like 5 or 6 courses, which he just used to win on every year. Yeah. Rory doesn't seem to have got that in his locker yet. He might go back and win it a few years later, but Tiger used to win year after year at the same event. So Rory, I think that's a negative. I don't know whether it heaps a bit of pressure on him that he just niggles at him. I don't know. Or maybe it's hard enough, isn't it, winning the same event back-to-back years. But Rory not defending, that would just put me off. Plus,
he's not won for a long time, has he?
It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's another factor added to the fact, you know, that he's not quite right at the moment. He's kind of playing very well, but he's not pure vintage Rory at the minute, is he? And he's not won since back end last year.
Are you leaving him alone
then? I'm leaving him alone, yeah.
At 92, McIlroy. Yeah. It would have been inconceivable to think that, given the manner of his victory last year, we'd be getting 9-2 for the same event this year, wouldn't it, at the time?
Yeah, well, you could each way steal it. Yeah, that's... But, I mean, you could. I just think he'll get picked off by some this week.
Okay, just to confirm, I have checked Twitter, and Dustin Johnson is out of the championship. Okay. So we are recording this on Tuesday afternoon at 2:50. So he's out. I've got one pick in the event, Dave.
I've got two.
Do you think it is a complete bomber's paradise just to move on now?
Well, you can never say never, because a short hitter will inevitably have a great wedge and putting week and get in there, but I think it does.
They've got to play so much better, haven't they, to contend?
Yeah,
I agree. You look at the layout as well. 7,575 yards.
Yeah.
The players need to take advantage of those first 15 holes, because the stretch that's known as the Green Mile,
just hang in
16, 17, 18. If you can par those three holes all 4 days, you'll make a lot of ground up on the rest of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shall I lead off with my...
You lead off.
...with my indiscriminate bomber?
You lead off, yeah.
It's JB Holmes.
Okay.
I don't think that's a surprise.
25-1.
Yeah, when you look at what he's done. He won this tournament 2 years ago. Just with him, now his first two wins on tour were in Phoenix at the Waste Management. It's what we call the FBR back then or something, but TPC Scottsdale. Mm. And what he did there was he won, missed the cut the following year when defending, and then went back the year after that and won again. He's on that exact same path this year. Won in 2014, missed the cut last year. I think he's got a great chance of winning this time around. Got that fourth place at the Masters when no one noticed him all week.
Yeah.
And then he played well in Texas last time out as well. He's just got a bunch of good form this year, hasn't he, JB Holmes? And I think it's just a case of waiting for him to get the right course, and I think this is absolutely up his street. When he did win a couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember, he was just sort of blasting it anywhere, just blasting it as long as he could. If he ended it in the rough, so what, he didn't really care. And he just made hay, just going in with shorter clubs.
That lends more credence to the bombers over
actual
accuracy types.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you say you got to cash in early on. Rory played the par fives brilliantly last year. JB Holmes can obviously demolish them as well. And I just think some of those at the front of the market, there's a few question marks against. Stenson's got terrible course form. Roses is okay.
You're going to mention the guy that I've picked here.
Am I?
You do this every single week you go through.
Johnson's not even in it.
You go through the... Yeah, that's a negative for him, isn't it?
Matsuyama's got no course form. We've ruled out McIlroy. And Scott's too short. So there you go.
On that note...
So one of them, I've just poo-pooed your selection.
You have. I'm going for Hideki Matsuyama.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's the wrong price in this field.
Because
I do really. I think he should be priced at the mark of... before he withdrew from the event, obviously, Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler. I think he should be 16 or 18-1 in this field in his 25s. I think it's an outstanding price. It still surprises me that he's not ranked in the top echelons. You look at Hideki Matsuyama.
Well, he is. Why isn't he? Surely he is ranked in the top echelons.
Yeah, but I'd still have him. I'd have him shorter than... Oh, I'd have him the same price as Rose, Stenson, Fowler and Dustin Johnson this week. Definitely. And you say that thing about... You mentioned about not having incredible course form.
Yeah.
And it's true, but it's not bad, is it? It's progressive. 38th on debut and 20th last year. And this is a perfect fit for Matsuyama. He's a decent length off the tee, not an indiscriminate bomber like JB Holmes, but you look at his stats this season, number one in birdie average. You've got a score on the first 15 holes here. I mean, McIlroy, did he post last year 21 under par? You've got to be able to You've got to be able to shoot lights out early on this golf course. Fifth in strokes gained tee to green this season. Scores well on the par fives, in the top 20 in par five scoring. Has the ability with his long irons, which are particularly impressive, to take those long par fours apart. And there are some chunky par fours around this golf course as well. One in Phoenix. He's finished tied 11th at the Northern Trust, tied 6th at the Arnold Palmer, tied 7th in his latest start at the Masters. The putting is the only concern with Matsuyama.
Yeah, I think having backed him at Augusta and watched him miss a load of putts from that kind of 10-foot, 12-foot range,
yeah,
I think he's slightly not in my good books.
Yeah, I think that's a notable concern.
Yeah.
Because he's not putted well this season, really, despite winning. If he gets going with the putter, which is, I always say, and we always say on the podcast, it's the most difficult thing to predict week in, week out. I'd rather always be with ball strikers, and Matsuyama is one. I think this venue suits him. So Matsuyama 25-1. I think he's overpriced. I'll play him a point each way.
Okay.
Go and lead off with number two.
Yeah, sometimes we're guilty, aren't we, of picking a player one week and he doesn't quite come up with the goods, and we go, right, he's gone, just as I've probably done with Matsuyama there. But that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So this week I'm going to go with the player I put up last week, give him another go, Daniel Berger.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy, obviously, you've said he won this event. This was his first win on tour. It was also Ricky Fowler's first win on tour. I'm not saying Daniel Berger is going to become as good as them, although I think he's going to become fantastic, you know. So I think this could be...
Well, you were saying last week how highly you rated him.
I think this could be, you know, the scene of his first win, and he'll be another one of those, wow, Daniel Berger won this as well. Now look at him. He's just not doing anything. He just continues to impress me. Last week, as I said earlier, I think he got a bit, just lost his rhythm in all the on and off at the Zurich Classic. But he was still 20th. It was hardly a disgrace of a performance. Shot a second round 65, which is obviously very, very impressive. That added to 10th at the Masters, which again I think went under the radar just because he wasn't on Bryson DeChambeau cam. You know, everyone was just going, oh.
Yeah.
Whereas Berger got no attention at all. Then he was 5th in Houston. I think Houston is a good kind of parallel to this course. It's a long course. Some of the winners there, JB Holmes himself has won in Houston and has won here. Mickelson's won both, or not won, but he's not won here, has he? But got good form in. But there's a lot of correlation between the two courses.
Yeah.
So that fifth place for Daniel Berger in Houston, I think, stands up very nicely as well. He was 25-1 last week. Obviously, there's some better players on show here this time. But we're up to 40-1. I think that's playable for Daniel Berger.
It is a much stronger field here, isn't it?
Yes, that's without doubt.
A heck of a lot stronger. Yeah. It's not just a little bit stronger. Yeah. There's top-class players everywhere you look on it.
I stand corrected. but another little thing with him, he's a Florida boy, isn't he? So he grew up on Bermuda, puts very well on Bermuda.
He loves Bermuda.
Yeah,
greens.
So that switch from bentgrass to Bermuda certainly has to bode well. He did play here last year, and I thought he did well, tied 28th when he was still, you know, a young fella making his way. And he was in the top 15 through rounds 2 and 3 as well, so he was nicely up there. One good round at the end and he would have come top 10, and we might have been looking at a short price, 33s or something like that. But 28th I thought was a good first knock at this course. He's got the ideal driving game for it. Hits it long but not very straight. I think he can continue his good form. And have we seen the weather forecast? I think it's okay.
I think it's okay this week.
So
yeah.
I think with a, you know,
which is good.
With a fair wind, I think he can get right in this.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
We've been through our picks. 40-1 Daniel Berger.
Yeah.
40-1 Benny Arn this week. Who's going to turn out to be the better of the two players?
Whatever.
Yep.
In their careers.
Yep.
It's a good question, isn't it?
I'm asking you to speculate, and we don't know at this moment in time, obviously. But I was very tempted by Benny Arn again this week. I know his price has contracted, whereas Berger's has got bigger, which definitely puts me off, because you were talking 66-1, 50-1 last week for Ben Arn, obviously beaten in the playoff, and he produced some incredible numbers in terms of statistics last week, and he's now 40-1. But I believe he's going to be outstanding, and he's a superstar in waiting.
Well, I think,
he's only 15 points bigger than Matsuyama, and Matsuyama's done it on every stage so far. So that's what put me off Benny Arn. And you you can legitimately go with Berger because his price has got bigger in a stronger field, whereas Benny Arn's price has got noticeably shorter in a stronger field. So that puts me off enough.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Maybe this time next year, Dave, we'll recall that podcast when we talked about Arn and Berger.
Well, I've still got to dig out the How Tong Lee podcast as well.
Oh, yeah. To the archives. Get your personal researcher to go through that. Some podcast kind of regular must... Do they remember that? It's whether we did it actually say in the podcast.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, because you started backtracking, didn't you? Because then you thought it might have been a corridor conversation at some point.
Possibly recall wagging my finger across the street at you,
right,
shouting.
Yeah, that's it. And no one records that sort of thing, do they?
Unless it's on CCTV somewhere.
Well, we'll bring this podcast back at some point. And I suppose the Twitter listeners can get involved on Twitter as well. Who do you think is going to be bigger, a bigger name, Berger or Ben Arn?
A or B, Arn or Berger.
In a year's time, yeah, Arn or Berger, I like that.
Very good.
A or B. Maybe in a year's time, because we don't want to go 5-10 years, do we, and have to come back and recall this moment in time.
We could do a lunch. How would you empirically decide it?
Yeah, it's difficult,
world
isn't
ranking?
It? Because
what are their world rankings?
Ben Arn's higher in the world rankings than Berger at the moment, I think. Quite significantly, I think. You check this up on the Hoof right now, and I'll give you a couple of names that were tempting me anyway, away from our selections. Ben Arn's one of them. I think Jamie Lovemark might go well this week again. I know he was beaten in the playoff last week, but he's 50-1, and you're looking for a prototype sort of player to be successful at this venue. Jamie Lovemark is one. Because I don't think he will be too disappointed by that playoff loss. Scrambled superbly last week. He's so long off the tee that he'll take advantage of those par fives. So Jamie Lovemark was definitely on my mind.
Yep. Here we go then.
Go on.
Benny Arn, Byung-Hun Arn, is world ranked 24.
He's moved up from 31 last week then. Yeah. That's what it was last week.
And Daniel Berger is number 47.
Yeah. Well, I'd be...
So he's already a top 50 player, so yeah. he's very much sharply on the rise, I think.
Oh, I definitely, without a doubt. I reckon Ben Arn will be ahead of him in 12 months' time, though. Would you think that Berger will catch and pass him?
That's difficult, isn't it? It's whether... Am I giving up 20-odd spots in a lunch bet already? Are we going on improvement?
We'll have to discuss this off air, won't we? I think some sort of percentage rise or something like that.
Berger was he was 100th in the Barclays last year,
right? Okay,
and that was that was after he'd had that good was it the Honda Open where he lost the Honda Classic where he went to he lost to Harrington.
Yeah, Padraig Harrington. Yeah.
So from 100, he's already climbing his way nicely up to 47. I think he'll be top 20 before we know it.
Do you think he'll make a Ryder Cup spot then?
Oof.
There's a question for you as well. Couldn't he? Okay, who else was on your mind this week then, apart from your two picks? You've been through your two selections.
Yeah, I think normally in this event I pick Phil Mickelson. I have certain courses for him nowadays. I think he doesn't show it everywhere. The Masters being one of them. And this is definitely one of them. He's got an absolute shed full, hasn't he?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. He's got 7 top 10s in his last 11 years.
And a lot of them will be top 5s, won't they? He's got a tremendous record here. I think
Top 5s in his last 10 years here.
He's the third biggest money earner at the event without actually winning it, which is obviously some going. It's just his form's gone weird. I think that
Masters
miscut threw him. I think he didn't see that coming from anywhere. I mean, and it's not like he was... Like Fowler was terrible from the start. Mickelson was kind of involved, was in it, and he
was bang there.
Frittered shots.
It was the moment of the seventh where he left his second shot in the bunker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
his run after that in the second round was just appalling.
Yeah, and he just lost the plot. I think that carried over into Texas. Was it last time out? So maybe after a week off, he'll get his head right because he was playing so well.
I picked him in Texas as well, so right, I'd be hoping that he bounces back this week.
Because I think with any decent form, it'd legitimately be kind of 16s, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
14s even, but he's 25s, so that could be a price on Mickelson. Hmm. I think he's worthy of who don't you want to win status.
Yeah. Interesting to see Olli Schneider-Jans in the field, given his exploits on the web.com tour recently, 125-1. And same price as, or Patrick Rogers is slightly shorter at 100-1, but this was really his awakening last season when he finished runner-up, wasn't it, behind Rory McIlroy?
That's right, yeah.
And he was superb here last year and showed a lot more form last week in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, was up there with 18 holes to play, so he'd be of interest definitely at triple figure price.
Another one at triple figure price, just on name, but on a little bit more than that, is Martin Kaymer, 100-1. He was 6 last time out. I think the perception is he's lost his way, but he was 6 last time out. Was that Valderrama, I think it was, wasn't it? So he played...
Yes.
Yeah, so he played... Yeah. I mean, that was a very tough event, wasn't it? Won with over par, won by you with one over.
that comparison's been made in the office quite a few times.
You could do get lucky like you. You'd have to beef up a bit, wouldn't you? Literally.
Have to beef up a bit,
nickname. But yeah, so Kaymer was 6 at Valderrama, and that's going to find you out if you're not playing well. He's had a couple of decent knocks on this course, 11th and 18th, and he won the US Open in the same state.
Yeah.
2014.
Would you say it's his kind of venue, though?
The idea that it suits a right-to-left player obviously doesn't work for him, but if you can come 11th on it and 18th, I just think it's not like we got him at 40s. I just think at the 100s, Martin Kaymer.
Yeah, that's fair
it's
comment.
It's just a sort of, wow, that's when you look at some of those around him, he's in a different level to those.
I wonder how Webb Simpson will play this week, 80-1. It's his home course, and he loves it round here. Finished second last year, but the putting a legitimate concern still with Simpson.
Yeah, he's got a second and a fourth Simpson, yeah, so another one who could cash in. There's a few with a few good bits of form here at bigger prices. Streelman's got 2 top tens in his last 3.
Looked at him.
Of this course.
Yeah. He's very interesting, isn't he, Streelman, I think. You just never know what you're going to get with Kevin Streelman. He's 80-1 here with William Hill. Smiley Kaufman as well. People were clambering over themselves to get Smiley Kaufman at a price last week, or clambering over other people. I don't think you can clamber over yourself, but clambering over other people to get a price last week, and he's currently 66-1 on a course that should suit him.
Yeah, Kevin Chappell I looked at as well. He's got 3 top tens in his last 4 starts, a second and a fourth in there. And he's got course form of 16th and 11th last 2 years. But sort of 40s, it's just a bit...
Yeah, I can see that.
I could see him playing well, though. I think he's gone up a level, hasn't he? Still only 29. I think he's still got his best years ahead.
Yeah.
But 40s, probably just enough to put me off. But as I say, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a big week.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Yeah, I'll go with Mickelson, I think. If Mickelson wins this, given all that exposed course form and the fact that I do like to back him on courses, he always does well on, that would be a knee to the solar plexus.
I'd have to go with Ben Aarne. The two that, if I'd have had a second pick in this event, Ben Aarne or Jamie Lovemark would have been the second selection. But at 40s and 50s, they weren't quite big enough for my liking, so Ben Aarne would definitely be my pick for the player I don't want to win. As for selections, I'm going 1 point each way Sebastian Gross in the Trophy Hassan II at 40-1, and a point each way on Hideki Matsuyama at 25-1 in the Wells Fargo Championship. Your selections, Dave?
Yeah, I'll go 1.5 points each way JB Holmes at Wells Fargo, and I'll also go a point each way Daniel Berger at Wells Fargo at 40s, yeah.
Yeah, 25-1 for JB. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter. Mike will be back next week at mgrenham if you want to follow Mike. It's myself at D Kellner and Dave Tindall at Dave Tindall Golf. You can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, and you can check us out on Twitter as well, at Will Hill Bet is the Twitter handle. Also, make sure you look at iTunes. Again, type in William Hill to subscribe. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Make sure you get your bets on for the Wells Fargo Championship and the Trophy Hassan II by Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.